Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, good morning.
And we're also joined by our buddy John down there in the beautiful state of Florida. How you doing, Johnny?
Good. What's happening, guys?
Not much. I got the coffees waiting for us. Recording in the morning today.
Yep.
Back in the saddle.
Yeah, sorry, guys. We missed this week. I was, like, fried, exhausted, and not just that. Missing Monday had the whole week messed up, didn't it, Dan?
Yeah, it's one of those weeks. It's a good thing because it was a little bit of a shorter week, and the weekend got on us a little quicker, but it was, it just felt like I was missing my wallet all week, like something just wasn't right.
Yeah, I was off. I was thinking Tuesday was Wednesday. It was like I was off a day the entire week, so, and then I had to work in a room, and I know I'm crying, but, John, everybody kept telling me, you're nuts, get out of there. I said, I'm training for Florida. These two rooms we had to tape, the three walls were done, and they never sheetrocked the last two walls in these pump rooms. It's where the hot water heater room is and the sprinkler system room. So I had to climb on pipes and over top of hot water heaters, and they had these big 1,000-gallon hot water heaters or 500-gallon hot water heaters. There were six of them in the room, and the room was 130 degrees, and I had to sit in there and tape, and it was 95 out during the day here. So.
That just sounds glorious.
Oh, it was wonderful. Plus, to top it off, the guy was insulating the pipes, so there was insulation blowing around the rooms with your pores all open. It was wonderful. It was almost as good as going on Splash Mountain.
Yeah, that's just going to say
Splash Mountain.
Yeah, the only thing could have been worse. It could have been, you know, it could have looked like the Soaring Q line or something, right?
Oh, it was just nasty, man. So I was kind of like beaten down all week, you know. But everybody, and this is what cracks you up. The guys are saying, like, because I would sit down and have my lunch, like, right next to the room where it was still hot, and they would all go in the building with the air conditioner. They're like, oh, look at this idiot sitting outside in the heat. It's like, well, why would I go in the air if I still got to work the entire afternoon? Like, do you guys agree with me on that? Like, would you go in and sit in the air for a half hour and go back out in the blazing heat?
Yeah, I probably would have, but I understand your strategy there. You kind of worked up in a lather and go from those conditions into the chill box and then back into those conditions. It's probably not the best thing for you.
No, it's like you're already you're already acclimated to it. Just tough it out and be done with it. It's like, it'd be like diving in a swamp, getting out, get clean, and diving back in the swamp again. It makes no sense to me.
Well, that's what I do all day, every day. So I'm in my truck. I'm at 70 degrees in the air conditioning. Then I climb in the back and I'm at negative 14. And then I roll outside the truck and it's 98. So, at every stop. So.
Yeah, I hear you. But you're not like four straight hours in it.
Right.
No, but, you know, if I have a good stop, it'll take me, you know, 45 minutes or so. So back and forth. So, it'll drive your immune system crazy.
Yeah, I was like, it was just wrong on so many levels. The boss even came out and goes, dude, you need to come in. I'm like, no, I want it over with. He goes, well, do half today and do the other half. I'll do it these 3 days and be done with it. I don't want to deal with it no more. He's like, good for you, man. Good for you. I'm like, you know, but why drag it out over a week and a half if you could be done with it in 3 days? Am I wrong?
No, that's the way to, you know, you got a tough chore ahead of you. You jump in, get it done, and get it over with. Good strategy. You procrastinate, and later in the week, you'd still be dealing with it. So
yeah, he was happy because then it was done with. So if I leave the job, he don't have to go do those rooms either.
Yeah, it's all about him, right?
Absolutely. Kind of like Dave over at the Mickey Dudes podcast. Wasn't that a great segue, guys?
There you
yes,
go. Nice.
Yes.
I'm going to be going on that show in a week or two. I'm going to be recording, and it's about the Park Hoppers, and they mentioned us. Thanks, guys. We really appreciate it. They did a little take on our living list, and they called it that. They said their bucket list, but they mentioned that we call it the living list, and they had some good ideas. I liked a lot of the things they want to do. It's kind of a lot of the same things we want to do. And they mentioned that all the times combined that they've all been there, there's so many things still that they want to do, and it sounds like us three.
Yeah, and you know, the older you get, you kind of, you know, at least I do, you look at things and you keep saying, yeah, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, and every year goes by and you don't do it, you kind of say to yourself, am I really ever going to do this, you know? So those things are getting more and more important to me anyways.
Like Tower of Terror, right, Dan?
No.
That's a good try.
I draw the line somewhere.
We're going to have to get him. We're going to have to get him really lit at the Main Street Pub and get him on tower, aren't we, Johnny?
Yeah,
that sounds like a plan.
Yeah, it might take 3 or 4 of you to get me on there, but
hey,
I suppose.
I'm pretty spry, you know.
Yeah.
I could run around you really quick, get you dizzy, and then get you on there.
Yeah.
But there were some good things. I mean, our living list, we have, and with the how they keep adding things down here, it's never going to end.
No, I mean, you'll see on the news this morning. I mean, if any more stores open up at Disney Springs, it's gonna, you know, it's gonna rival the Mall of America or something. There's many. It's crazy. I mean, there's stores opening up that I haven't heard of, or maybe I've forgotten about, or whatever. But it just seems like, you know, every week it's 3 or 4 more shops opening up down there.
Yeah, restaurants changing menus, upgrading, downgrading, closing, opening. It's like every time you turn around, there's something new going on down there.
Well, like you're calling it the fifth gate. I mean, that's not far-fetched. It certainly has a lot to offer now, and that's a good thing.
Especially for us old farts.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely somewhere that I'm going to want to spend a whole lot of time at.
All they really need is 2 dark rides down there, and it'll be better in the studio.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Speaking of that as a fifth gate, guys, when my son was very young, probably 2, 2 and a half, well, when he was a baby, we had passes to Disney, and then we went through a little bit of financial problems there for a year or two, and so when he was 2 and a half to about 4, we would go to Disney Springs and just tell him that was Disney at the time. But he was thrilled because he'd ride the carousel out there and the little train ride. I'd ride that little train with him. And you know what? I went past that the other day, and it is still, be quiet about this, but it's still only $2, and that's the price it was when my son was 2. So yeah, but he for a good year and a half, he thought that was the Magic Kingdom. So it was kind of the fifth gate. So.
Yeah, but kids at that age, I mean, they tend to like those things. Just like the kids that go to a Walt Disney World, they go on a vacation, and they're more happy at the resort pool playing and having a good time than they are going in the parks when they're, you know, hot and miserable. So I could see that, and people do enjoy themselves at, you know, venues like that. And, you know, he didn't know any better, and, you know, you were still trying to, you know, make do with what you had at the time, and it was a good decision, I think. And, you know, you guys probably have some great memories from those days, I'm sure.
Oh, every time I walk past that little train ride, you know, you get that little
yep.
Because I rode it probably 50 times with him between the ends. So, yeah, it was a fond memory, that's for
Let's
sure.
Let's tell
so.
The truth. You wanted to get on the train, and he rode with you. let's get the truth out there, man.
Little choo-choo.
But the thing of it is, John, now you opened up somebody in one of the offices is going to say, you know that train's still
$2. It still is $2. Son of a gun.
40% increase next year. I can see it coming.
I mean, if they're going to charge for those extra spaces of parking, why wouldn't they add another $2 for the train?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have said anything.
No, you shouldn't have. It's probably something that, I mean, I guarantee it slipped through the cracks somehow.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it, because, like I said, that was 15 years ago, so.
That's crazy. I bet you that might be the only thing on property that stayed the same. I can't think of anything else that was ever priced that didn't go up in price.
Yeah, even like the miniature golf, I'm sure has gone up. I don't know that it has, but I'm assuming it has.
Yeah, everything is going up, dude. It's inevitable. But finally, our houses or prices are going up again. So maybe we can catch up to Disney one of these years.
Yeah, make a little equity, right?
Yeah, because we haven't gotten any equity. But they're the only one game in town that seems to be getting any equity. So we need to join them. So you ready for some news?
Sure, absolutely. Shore opens at Disney Springs Town Center. So, what is this here? Here goes my iPad again.
Does it to you every time, Dan?
It does. We'll get it. You got some pictures here, which helps the listeners none whatsoever. Beach lifestyle brand Shore is now open in the Town Center. And again, this is, I think, the fourth week in a row where something has opened in the Town Center at Disney Springs. Selling clothing and accessories for men, women, and kids, you can find Shore next door to the recently opened Superdry, which we'll talk about, I think, later in the show, along the main walkway of the Town Center.
What happened, Dan?
My fingers here. Operating hours are 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and 10 a.m. to 11:30 Friday and Saturday nights. Yeah, it looks like a typical, I don't know, clothing store, I'd call it. Nothing, I don't see anything that looks too unique, but
I mean,
again,
the building is beautiful. I mean, the architecture, I mean, it's a really nice-looking shop.
Yeah, it looks a little high-end, but it's kind of with the motif of everything down there. But you're right, it does have curb appeal, that's for sure.
And they have everything in there. I mean, you got hats, you got T-shirts, you got sweatshirts, jack. I mean, you name it, it's a little bit of everything in apparel, I would say, for, you know, to wear throughout the parks or whatever.
Kind of looks like a Tommy Bahama store,
yeah,
doesn't it? Yeah,
yeah.
That type of casual, I guess. Yeah, a lot of convenient or really nice stuff to wear in Florida, but it's probably a little bit of cooler stuff than some of the stuff you'd pick up at North. So.
Yeah, the one thing I've seen is they got nice women's hats, and they have the gladiator shoes with, like, the high heels. I hope you're not wearing them through the parks. I hope you're just wearing them to the boathouse.
Yeah.
You ever see some of them girls, though, in the park
oh, yeah.
wearing high heels? You just look at yourself like, are you kidding me?
Yes, I've seen them, and that's why, you know, I know you don't like Crocs, Doug, but I've gotten over what I looked like years ago, and I go for comfort. I could care less.
Well, I would like Crocs if they want to sponsor the WTW Main Street podcast. I might even wear them, but no, I'm a Nike, I'm a sneaker kind of guy, dude.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I can't do the sandals either. Sneakers are my bedroom slippers. Let me put it to you that way, guys.
Yeah.
I can't even. My wife has tried to make me wear bedroom slippers for like the past 10 years. I just don't like the feel of anything loose on my feet.
Right.
You know, when you move as quick and as spry as I am, guys, there's not enough. There's
not like
enough
a flash.
Support. Yeah, I am, dude. You don't understand. I'm never sitting down. I'm always walking. I'm always ready to run, man. Break into action. I can't have a sandal on.
All right, next story here. Belly dancing returns to Epcot's Moroccan Pavilion with Mystique Aramenko. Mystique Aramenko, a new live entertainment act, is now performing at Epcot's Moroccan Pavilion. The new three-piece band is very similar to the Moroccan act that performed at the pavilion for 15 years. A belly dancer is part of the show, and there are even some familiar faces from the former Moroccan group. Isn't this interesting? So they're bringing them back without bringing them back. Show times are typically 1:20, 2:20, 3:45, 4:45, 5:45, 6:30, and 7:45, with performances taking place Wednesday through Sunday. Like most new acts appearing at Epcot, Mystique Aramenko is up for a limited time engagement at Epcot. The new group replaces Rabib Fusion, which I guess was the group that came after Moroccan left. So I guess they're continuing on this strategy to not lock in any long-term contracts, and looks like 6 months or so, and they're going to rotate acts in and out of there, at least for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm glad they have something back. I mean, the belly dancer, I don't know. I mean, I like the belly dancer myself, but we talked about this before. It's kind of like distracting when you're out to dinner with your wife. You don't want to be looking at the belly dancer.
Right.
But to be out in the open belly dancing, I don't know. I'm not a stuffy kind of dude. I'm like, let freedom ring. But I don't know if you want to. I don't know. The belly dancer just don't fit in the World Showcase to me all the time. Do you?
Well, I think it's a cultural thing, and
yeah.
You know, it is what it is for that country. So I don't take offense to it. I think it's done tastefully, and it's not, you know, probably as risque as it might be, you know, if you were to go to Morocco or whatever. But you know,
I
I'm
guess
sure
it's okay. I mean, Jasmine walks around in a belly shirt too, half
yeah.
the character, so it's fine. It's
yeah.
you know, it just I don't know. Being there with your little 2-year-old, I don't know if it would be. I don't know if I'd feel funny. I don't have kids, so I'm just. To me, it don't bother me. I'm just saying there might be some people to get a little uptight about it.
Oh,
is my point.
Yeah,
I could care less.
I'm sure there are people, but you know, this discussion we're having, I'm sure was had in some boardroom at Disney when they were, you know, determining whether they were going to offer this kind of, you know, entertainment, and you know, majority must have been on the side of it's okay because it's there.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Like, that's how I want to put it. I'm not all uptight is my thing. I could
yeah.
just see somebody complaining about it. I think it's fine. I don't think any of that is bad. I mean, there's worse things going on in the world than, you know what I mean, than this. So, I mean, it wouldn't bother me.
We've got a picture of me and my son with the when he was, I think, a year. So he's just an infant, and I've got him in my arms, and with the belly dancer, because he liked the motion or something, yeah. But he would just sit and stare at her every time we passed by. So we got a picture with her, and he's trying to, let's say, grab something that really shouldn't be grabbed. So I'll throw it up on Twitter.
You gave him that boy, didn't you, John?
Chip off the old block.
Yeah. I mean, so, myself, I played a hand tambourines with her, the cymbals. I wouldn't care. I'd get in dance and have fun, but I could just see somebody complaining about it. You know what I'm saying?
I guarantee you they probably feel, you know, a dozen complaints a day because, you know, inevitably there's going to be a
second.
Uptight. Yeah, exactly. You know, but I guess, you know, it's just the numbers, you know, for every complaint they get, they probably get 3,000 people that think it's the greatest thing in the world. So it's the, you know, majority rules mentality, I guess.
Yeah, because that's our favorite thing, man. I love live entertainment around World Showcase. I think that's what makes World Showcase, to me, that's my favorite part about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, not that I've ever been to Morocco, and I don't know that there's belly dances on every corner or at every, you know, restaurant. I have no idea, but I got to believe it is part of the culture there. And, you know, that's what you would see if you went there. So, you know, Disney tries to do a good job at bringing some of the culture from all the countries to World Showcase. So they've determined that this is something they want to bring there.
Let's dance.
Yeah. let's see. A new way to charge your devices in the parks with fuel rod kiosks. Let's see what this is all about.
Yeah, it's you buy or rent a charger. Or rent, you get your charger done.
See here. Disney has partnered with mobile charging kiosk operator Fuel Rod to bring a new way to charge your devices to Disney World theme parks. The Fuel Rod kiosks, each themed to the area of the park where they are located, enable you to purchase a Fuel Rod portable charger with a credit card and have the ability to make an exchange at any Fuel Rod kiosk for another fully charged Fuel Rod charger. Fuel Rod expects its device to add around 8 hours of charge to a phone or 4 hours to a tablet. For a one-off fee of $30, you can get a Fuel Rod charger complete with a 6-inch USB Type-A to micro USB cable, which is used by most Android devices, an Apple 30-pin to USB cable, and an Apple Lightning to USB cable. The charger and the cables belong to you once purchased. Although you can expect your Fuel Rod for a fully charged device at any time, you can also charge the Fuel Rod yourself with any USB charger. Disney has previously tested various charging stations, including kiosks that store your phone in a locked chamber to recharge, as well as adding various charging areas in the parks that require you to bring your own charger and cable. There is no doubt that the Fuel Rod solution is a useful service, particularly with the ability to exchange it for another fully charged battery at any time. A family visiting with multiple devices could make good use of this during a trip, but for a single user, it would be significantly cheaper to purchase one of the many USB charging devices that retail for around $10 and ensure it is charged in the hotel before heading to the parks. Yeah, I agree. What do you guys think about the system? And then we'll go into the locations. But you like the idea of having this available?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the best idea they've had, because leaving your phone in a locked area and leaving is kind of a waste of time for me. And also, like, I know on your one trip, Dan, you had to stop and keep charging your phone, remember?
Yep, I've done that. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have one of these Fuel Rods. It saves my week at work, because I wouldn't survive without it, because it charges my Bluetooth. And at lunchtime, I charge my Bluetooth and my phone with it, and it gets me through the day listening to my satellite radio and the whole nine yards. And in the parks, you know, we both – the last trip, I took 1,000 pictures on my phone. So, I mean, I think this is an awesome idea, and I think it makes it easier. Myself, I'd rather buy it before I go there, but if you forget to buy it and that you could constantly exchange it for every trip, I think it might be worth the $30. So this way you can just get there. When it runs out, you just plop it in and buy a new one. I mean, get a new one. What do you think?
Well, if you remember earlier this year on one of the podcasts that I did with you guys when I was at Hollywood Studios, I think it was, we had to stop at Target there before we got there because I had completely forgot our chargers at home. And I spent, I think, $29 buying a charger and a cable there. So if that would have been available, I would have happily just spent the $30 because I don't know where they're finding one for $10 with the cable and everything. But,
right.
But yeah, when I bought the one at Target, like I said, it was 28 or 29, so yeah, that would have worked fantastic. So I think it's actually not that bad of a price, so I think it's a great deal.
Exactly. And like you were saying, John, I think with the $10, I think they're thinking that you already have your charger cable.
Oh, okay.
You can buy the charging device for $10-15, but then you have to go buy a cable. And the problem you have, my buddy owns Bandit Video around the corner. And he's a good friend of mine. He buys, sells, and trades video games and movies, like Disney movies and all that stuff. But he actually got cables in at one time that he gave me a couple of them when I was in there because I needed one for my phone. And I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, where after you use them so many times, it'll tell you this does not work with your Apple device.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that problem, Dennis?
No, I never have.
Yeah, with the aftermarket cord, sometimes you got to worry about that. So the point I'm making is in these kiosks, is I'm sure they're Apple cords because Apple is a part of Disney now. Like, because they're, you know, they do Apple Pay and all that other stuff. So if you're actually getting the actual cord that goes to your Apple iPhones, it is well worth the price because they aren't cheap to buy. If you go to Verizon or one of those stores and just buy a charger itself to plug in with the cord, they're like $20-30.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the prices have come down, too. And as you know, you can get these charging devices. You can spend anywhere from a couple $100 to some of the elaborate ones that you can charge multiple devices on and get 4 or 5 chargers to, like they said, the $10 ones that are the size of a, you know, a battery flashlight or, you know, a small flashlight or something like that and anything in between. So, but I think just in general, the prices have come down over the last couple of years than they did when they first hit the market.
No, but I think it's a good deal. I have the same exact one. I have a little, like you're saying, Dan, like the small flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
It's identical to this one that they're selling here. That's what I use. And
right.
Literally, I can charge my phone twice with it.
Yeah, so. And that's, you know, for a single user, maybe even a couple could get away with it. But, I mean, that's all you need for a day in the park. And like the story suggests, you just got to make sure when you get home at night that you slap them on the charger so you're ready to go again in the morning. And as long as you do that, you should be good.
I know my iPhone 6. I don't know about you, Dan, but my iPhone 6, as far as just taking pictures and working on it, I probably get all day out of that almost. One charge would do me fine because that battery seems to last forever.
That was one of the things, I think, with the upgrade with the 6 and the new version that's out, the battery life is supposed to be a little better, so that makes sense to me. I mean, I don't really – that's the only time I really notice it was when I'm at Disney because I never use my phone enough, or I'm in and out of my office and I have a charger right there, so I always throw my phone on the charger whether it needs it or not. So I don't realize it when I'm at home, but when I'm at Disney, that's when I would see an extended battery life or something like that.
Well, I stream my Sirius satellite radio from 7 a.m. until noon, and I still have like 70% battery left.
Yeah, that's real good.
Yeah, my iPhone 5, it would be down to like 30%, 25%. I mean, it would definitely, because the charger, I still hit it with the charger because for some reason, if it hits 50% or below, it's like the world's coming to an end.
Right. You just can't deal with it.
No, so every day at lunch, I charge the Bluetooth for the first 10, 15 minutes. That gets it to 6 hours of talk time.
Right.
And then I charge the phone for the last 15, 20 minutes of break. And it gets me, I mean, it don't ever go anywhere below 60% ever, 60, 65%. But how's your phone, John?
Yeah, I got a 6 too, and I use it for, well, I've got a charger in my truck, so I just plug it in. It stays plugged in almost all day, and I usually use it for listen to books while I drive around. So I use it for my Audible app, and so that drains it down, but it's not too bad. So it's about the same as yours, you guys, so.
Yeah, I that's one of the major upgrades. Is the iPhone 5, I think it was the C, not the S. That battery in that thing stunk. I mean, it would just run out so quick. I mean, that's why I had the chargers.
Yeah, and you know, I also think that, you know, Disney's offering this service, and sure, they're probably making a little bit of money on it, which is fine. But you know, the other thing too, we were talking about with their, you know, very likely to be going paperless in the future, and with the park maps and the,
Yeah, they want your
yeah,
phone
they,
charged,
you know,
baby.
they need to make sure that everyone has their phones operable, because if not, they're not going to be able to access, you know, things like park maps and ADRs and all that good stuff. So it's in their best interest to offer this stuff. And, you know, eventually, I'm not going to say it'll be free, but, you know, when they really go totally solar and have all this stuff, you know, maybe they'll offer this at some point, kind of like Wi-Fi back in the day. They'll just say, look, it's part of the cost of doing business. We have to have this service available, and, you know, maybe they'll just give it to you at some point. But,
And they also want you posting on social media, you know, here
yeah.
I am on Splash Mountain, here I am, you know,
yep.
meeting the country bears and stuff like that. So
free advertisement.
exactly. So
yeah, good backhanded thinking. That's what we do here, Dennis. We always find what they're actually up to.
It's always a motive.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyways, these fuel rod kiosks are located obviously throughout Walt Disney World. Over at the Magic Kingdom, it's at there's one at Tomorrowland Light and Power Company, Big Top Souvenirs, Pico's Bill's Tall Tale Inn and Cafe, Curtain Call Collectibles. Then over in Epcot, Disney Traders, at the Studios, Celebrity 5 and 10. At the Animal Kingdom, it's at the Island Mercantile. And at the Springs, it's at the Marketplace Disney Photo Imaging and at Disney Quest.
That's
They also
weird, two
have one over at
places.
the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex, too, in the clubhouse shop. So, yeah, you know, they're spread out, and I'm sure we'll see more of these stations as time goes forward here.
They'll probably have more people in Disney Quest because of this than they do for anything else. I mean, I cannot, of all the people we talk to, of all the people we're friends with in social media, all the friends I have on my job sites, and everybody I know that goes to the parks, I don't remember anybody ever coming home to me and telling me they went to Disney Quest.
The only people that are going to Disney Quest are the first timers that it comes in their package, and they think that it's part of the gig, and they pretty much have to go.
I mean, me and Brenda had a great time doing the Whitewater River. We were a little hungover. We had a little buzz going, and we were racing down the rapids, and I'll never forget it. But it's like, with all the things to do, it's like that's the last thing I got on my mind. But like, I don't know how to this day that building's still open. I mean, do you guys ever see a crowd around it?
No, I mean, it was slated to close, and I forget what the circumstances were. There was going to
somebody
be an
backed
Apple
out.
store go there or something, and yeah, something happened, or somebody,
the NBA
some
store,
contract.
I think it was.
Yes,
the
I think
NBA
you're right.
store.
Yeah. And maybe it'll happen at some point still, but it got a stay of execution, you know, 6 months or a year ago, whatever it was. And I think it's just open because of that reason. I think if they had their druthers, it would have been closed by now.
Yeah, because I think it costs more to run it than it does that they're making off it at this point.
Yeah.
Unless they're using it for a write-off for a loss, like Disney Quest is. I don't get it. I mean, it was a great idea, but it's one of those things. It's kind of like interventions. It's hard to keep up with the times.
Yeah, and that's what I always said. If they would have kept up with the technology or even tried, it seems like at some point along the way they just shrugged their shoulders and said, we can't do it, and we're just going to let it, you know, they kind of let it go retro. It was just some stuff in there that's so old that it's new again, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think it'd be
it's
cool.
Like people like just, that stuff now.
Yeah, just throw Pac-Man and Asteroids in there and I'll go back in.
Exactly. It's got all the, you know, the old farts like
Set
us.
Up some pool
Remember
tables.
When I used to play that?
Set up some pool tables. I'll never leave there once
right.
I move down there, but you know.
Let's see. Disney Countdown to Midnight tickets on sale for New Year's Eve. Disney's Contemporary Resort is hosting the Disney Countdown to Midnight event to celebrate in grand style the arrival of 2017. It is all-inclusive and costs $225 per guest, tax and gratuity included. Held in the resort's convention center, the event begins at 8 p.m. on December 31st, 2016. It's held in the Fantasia Ballroom. Adult beverages will be served alongside a DJ playing music from the 60s to today. Next comes a dinner featuring the best of the best bites and wine pairings from such restaurants as California Grill, Flying Fish Cafe, Citrico's, and Narcosis. Entertainment will include Alter Ego performing a music and dance-filled review, and Outside, a unique musical act playing songs of today with a retro twist. Views of the Magic Kingdom's New Year's Eve Fantasy in the Sky fireworks will be available from the outdoor patio. Disney Countdown to Midnight is an all-inclusive, all-ages event available for $225, as we said, and takes place from 8 p.m. December 31st to 1 a.m. on January 1st, 2017. You can get tickets right now if you hanker in to go to this, at, either online or 407-939-3463.
Hold on, guys. I'm buying my tickets.
Yeah.
Get a pair.
I mean, with everything that they give you with drinks and everything else included, again, another thing, if I live in there, this would be worth it. It might be a nice night out. I don't think it's crazy priced.
Oh, no. If I was a local resident and we were going to do something on New Year's Eve, go out somewhere and, you know, spend money or go out to dinner anyways, you're right. If you're going to get dinner and your drinks with it and, you know, 5 hours of entertainment with the, you know, the band that they're going to have there, you're right. It's probably not outrageous. But, you know, on a 7-day vacation on top of everything else, it is outrageous, I think.
Exactly. I mean, the point of it is because with the food, the beverages, and the gratuity, everything included, at least they include a gratuity with this. I mean, the only thing I don't like is and this is just me being a fuddy-duddy, I don't think kids of all ages should be allowed at something like this. I mean, up to 1 a.m., I mean, because my point is I'm not going to be out to have fun knowing there's kids roaming around.
Well, right, and if you notice, they didn't break the prices out. So what they're saying is, whether you're 6 months old or 60, you're going to pay $225.
Exactly. But do you think, I love kids the whole nine yards. But the point is, could you see yourself having the extra beer? I wouldn't want to be having that good of a time if there's a bunch of 15 and 16 year olds running around. I don't want them to looking at the old man being hammered over in the corner. You know, I mean, you understand what I'm saying? You act different when there's kids around, in my opinion.
Yeah. It is a weird thing. I mean, on the one hand, it's Disney World. There's kids everywhere, as we say, and that's true. I mean, even in any bar room or, you know, if you go to Mexico to La Cava or whatever, you're apt to see, you know, kids or children or young adults, whatever you want to say. So it's kind of unique at Disney World in that you have that mixed, you know, age groups at these different venues. But on the other hand, I see what you're saying, that it is, you know, kind of a celebratory time and atmosphere, and you're right, it is kind of an adult type activity, no doubt about it. So I get what you're saying.
Like, you want to be, the thing of it is I'm not a drinker, I don't get hammered or anything like that, but it's just this, you carry yourself a different way when there's kids around, and you can't let your hair down, as far as I'm saying, and just talk how you talk freely, speak freely, and it's supposed to be a celebration and a party. And who wants to go to a party with a bunch of 15 or 16 year olds around? Not that there's anything wrong with it, but you can't have the same kind of adult fun that you do with kids around. You got to set an example.
Right.
Do you agree, John?
Yeah, I think so, and especially all ages. So it's not just the 15, 16-year-old. You probably have some 6, 7-year-olds
exactly.
running around, so, which are even, you know, I mean, that's even a little more awkward. So
exactly. You know,
and especially, but if they're going to spend $225 for them, I mean, woof, that's a killer. You take two kids to it with you and your wife, you know.
Because the meals you're getting here from Citrico's, California Grill, Flying Fish Cafe, and Nicosi's, they're four of the best on property. They're you know, the two dining plan.
You're not getting chicken nuggets and fries.
No, you're getting fed. And then even with that, how many 15 or 14 or 6-year-olds are going to eat any of that?
Well,
and I
guarantee.
Like, yeah, I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say, you'd like to believe that people that were thinking of going to this would make arrangements for a sitter Yeah, I mean, you know, but there's always going to be those few that don't think that way and think, well, I can do what I want or whatever. But, you know, Disney, I don't think would ever put it out there that, you know, kids aren't welcome. But, you know, if you have half a brain, you wouldn't bring kids to prevent this.
There's always going to be 10% that have a quarter of a brain that's going to bring the whole family with them and then make you feel bad for having fun. That's the point of it. The rest of it, I agree with. It's just, I think it should be ages 20. You should have, be a drinking age or above to be able to go to this, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, like John said, you'll have the 6 or 7 year old kids that'll be running around screaming, making it uncomfortable for everyone else, because that's what 6 and 7 year olds do when they're bored and they're at an event that they're not having a good time or they're not being entertained. They're going to make their own fun, and that's going to make it less fun for the adults that are there.
Exactly. And that's my point. Like, you go into the bars and all that, you're not going in there to party. You're going into Rose and Crown or any of the other, you understand, you're going in for a drink or two and hang out. Right. You're not upset with kids. But you go to a party with something like this, you just want it to be adults only, in my opinion. That's all. I don't think you should be able to bring kids to something like this.
No, but again, I always say this. Wouldn't you love to just be in the boardroom when these decisions were made?
Exactly. Like really?
The same conversation had to have happened, and, you know, how they came to the conclusion to not exclude kids or children, but yet not offer children's pricing and not say that. I don't know. It's just kind of weird how they kind of wrote this up, where it's just leaving it up to the guests, I guess, to do the right thing.
Yeah, because at my luck, I'm the guy that would have the table next to me that the family brought the 7 kids with them.
Right.
that's Doug Luck, you know, yeah. Or I'd be at the same table with them. And me and my wife were, okay, I'll have soda now because I feel funny. I don't want to have my 3rd beer where I might have a good time.
You know, it's kind of funny because if they would have just made it, you know, like you said, 21 and up, legal drinking age, then they wouldn't have to worry nearly as much about underage drinking or the bartenders checking ID or anything like that. So it'd make all the cast members' life a lot easier that are serving the drinks. Now, if you're going to have them, you know, you're going to have 19, 21, 20-year-olds that look old enough, but you're going to have to be checking IDs all night, so...
Yeah. You know, and at midnight you want to kiss your bride. I don't want 5, 6-year-olds staring at me. You know what I'm saying? It just makes
really
everything uncomfortable. Yeah, it just makes everything uncomfortable. I just don't get it. For me, as normally as I cry about a price, with everything that's included in this, and right. It's a one night out, New Year's Eve, you're staying on property, it would be a great night if you're local, like say Johan, or surprise your wife, book a room at Riverside for the night. You know, and go to this party. I think it will be a wonderful time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'd love to experience something like this. I mean, I think you're right. It's affordable for what you get, dinner and everything else. And if I was down there during that week, I, you know, even might consider doing it. As, you know, expensive as it is a lot of money, but I think that it's a good value, as they say.
Absolutely. For the amount of time and, like, with the gratuity and alcohol included, mm-hmm. Especially for how much alcohol is, and we'll get into prices of some other things as this goes on, so it's really not right. Out of whack with some other prices coming up.
Exactly. Yeah, let's see, next story here. Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach winter refurbishment schedule. Gee, we're talking a lot about winter and New Year's Eve in the
middle
of July.
Dude, I was in Target yesterday. I was in Target yesterday, and all the school supplies are out. I'm like,
yep, school's back. Yep, that's, like, it's crazy.
Can I please get through summer, man? I mean, everything's 50% off, the bar grills and the grill and stuff and all. I'm like, what? Well, you can't even enjoy summer anymore.
John, when did they go back in Florida?
August 17th.
Man, you're talking a little over a month and they'll be back in school.
No, yeah, my son's getting thinking about it already. So he'll get back from vacation and have like 2 weeks left, and that's
yeah,
it.
And I'm just kind of, my mindset is I'm just getting over spring and kind of just heading towards summer here. And I mean, the corn isn't even out up here yet. I know you probably have it, Doug.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're a week away. It's just next weekend we'll have it, but I mean, we haven't even got the corn yet, so that's where I am. And we're talking about New Year's Eve, and
I got fresh ears of corn, Jersey corn, out on the countertop going on the grill today, and I got fresh, the absolute best. This is the only thing that I can 100% say is the best in New Jersey, the Jersey tomatoes. They are phenomenal. Have you ever had a Jersey tomato?
Probably, but I know what you mean. They're like a steak.
No, they are the best. And that's one thing. I mean, I slam Jersey constantly. If you want to get into Jersey picking contest, I'll do it the best out of anybody. But the tomatoes are off. Tonight I am making homemade cheesesteak hoagies for the family. And we're living large. I'm allowed to get us in trouble tonight, but I'm making fresh cheesesteaks with fresh cheddar cheese and then I'm and a little American mixed in, and then we're doing the hoagies. We're gonna put on the fresh Jersey tomatoes on top of the cheesesteak. It's gonna be so good. Fried onions, lettuce, tomato, fried onions. Mm.
Most important part of that, though, where are you getting your bread from? Because without the proper bread, it all means nothing.
We got it fresh from the Amish market. The
there
wrap,
you go.
Freshly baked hoagie rolls.
Yes.
We're living large today.
But don't you agree that a sandwich or a hoagie or a sub, if you don't have the right bread or fresh bread, it can ruin the whole thing?
Absolutely. Do you guys have what you call it up there, Primos?
No, I don't think so.
Do you, John, have any Primos down in Florida yet?
Is that bread?
Yeah, it's a hoagie. It's a hoagie shop. They're slowly spreading around. They're kind
of
like Wawa.
No, we do have a place called
slowly but surely.
We do have a place called Jersey Mike's, but no, we don't have. I haven't seen any Primos.
Yeah, Primos hoagies are one of the best, and they're like you have, Dan. They have three different style rolls, and all three are awesome.
Yeah.
One's a little harder, one's a little softer, but the rolls are baked every morning, and they're phenomenal.
We have three bakeries that have been in existence for, I don't know, for 70, 80 years, and they, you know, full service bakeries, and they bake bread, you know, started at 3 a.m. every day. So, I mean, I can be there and I know what time they come out hot, and that's where we've been getting our bread for years, whether we get sticks of bread or buns and rolls or whatever. And, you know, it's just, you can eat that, you know, one of those just by itself with no butter or nothing on it, and it's delicious. That's how good they are.
Oh, absolutely. We have two of them. We have Licio's I forget the other one. Another bakery that we use all the time around here. We used to own a deli years ago. I don't know if you knew that.
No, didn't know that.
Me and my wife and my brother-in-law, we owned a deli years ago. It was called Bren Mark's Deli. My wife's name's Brenda. My brother's name's Mark. It was called Bren Mark's Deli.
Nice.
And we used to get the rolls and all. And that was the main thing. We were known for our roast beef sandwiches.
Right.
And but again, the rolls have to be perfect. And I love a good roll. There used to be a place over in Glassboro, like you're speaking of, a local town.
Mm-hmm.
And the father, same thing. There used to be a line around the corner. He had his own little private house with a little bread shop behind it. And he'd bake every morning, and we'd all be standing out there like idiots picking the bread up.
It's so good, though.
Yes, it was.
I think I told you the story once. When I used to have season tickets to the Patriots and would go down and tailgate, I was always the bread guy. I'd pick up the rolls and, you know, couple dozen or whatever, depending on who was going to the game. But I had to start putting them in the trunk because they would be hot on the seat next to me, and I'd woof down three or four of them on my way to pick people up. And you know, hey, where's all the rolls? You know, they didn't have many this morning. They were a little light, you know.
Yeah, it's crumbs are all over your chest.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but there's nothing like you're saying, Dan. Nothing like a fresh baked roll.
Exactly.
Yeah. But
so, anyways.
On a tangent.
Yeah, how we got to rolls with Blizzard Beach, but
It was my fault.
That's all right. We took a sharp left-hand turn there. Blizzard Beach will close for us from October 23rd through December 24th. Then Typhoon Lagoon will close from December 25th through March 11th, and they'll reopen on March 12th, 2017. It is likely, although not yet announced, if Typhoon Lagoon will reopen with a new family raft ride. We saw, you guys, I'm sure, saw the pictures of this.
It looks pretty long, too. Looks like a big ride.
And I think John was telling us about the pressure from other water parks adjacent to Walt Disney World that are starting to step up their game, let's just say. I think Disney feels the need to counter.
Yeah, both of these are going to be closed for a pretty long time, a couple months. I mean, the one's going to be closed almost 3 months, two and a half months.
Which isn't typical, I don't believe.
Usually a month, couple weeks, 2-3 weeks. Now, John, they usually close 2 months down there, 3 months?
No, usually not that long. Usually it's about 6 weeks to drain the pools and re-clean them and stuff like that. But like Dennis said, with the Volcano Bay opening by Universal next summer, they're probably going to try to step up the competition because that place just looks amazing. So yeah, it's going to be...
Maybe there's going to be something new coming to both of these parks.
Right. That's probably what's going to happen. So.
Well, what I'm hoping is Cali River Rapids closes and something new goes up over there. What do you guys think?
Yeah, they'll annex it and make it part of Expedition Everest. There'll be a water feature part of that ride now because they heard you complaining that it's boring.
Well, that's a good idea, Dan. I want to bring this up too.
Oh, yeah, there's a mashup.
I had an idea, John, for a show, and we'll do it. We'll have you on too, one of the weekday shows.
Okay.
I wanted to and start practicing for this. We're gonna do a mashup show, where you mash up two rides to make one.
Oh, that sounds cool. Good
And
idea.
we'll use some of our imaginations of it, you know what I mean? Like to have it fun like this. Imagine if it's a small world and it's a world of laughter, a world of cheer. The next thing you know, you're going down Splash Mountain.
There you
to add two together. But I honestly think that they should to do a little to tell you one that I thought of already. Mashup would be Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and Splash Mountain. It would kind of make Disney World's version of the Matador out in Disneyland. You know what I'm saying? Where it's water and a
The
roller coaster,
Matterhorn.
the Matterhorn. What did I say? What did I say?
Matador,
Matterhorn.
you're not bullfighting.
Yeah, I meant. You know what I meant? The
I
Matterhorn.
do
I'm
know.
sorry. I'm sorry. But that's what we do here. We mess up words. But
Oh,
anyway,
yes.
that would be Walt Disney's World version of that, and that would be pretty cool if you combine the two. So. And you could use some creativity, add pirates, you know what I'm saying? So I think we'd have some fun with that.
Sounds
Yeah,
good.
can we now we will be able to go park to park, right? Or are we going to
Yeah.
stay within the same park?
No, if you want to change Expedition Everest completely and turn it into Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, feel free.
All
You know
right.
what I'm saying? If you want to
Yeah.
combine the two so you can have some scenery.
All right. That'll give us a wide berth to really get creative.
Yeah, see, like what I would do is. I would add Frozen to Expedition Everest so you could actually have what the ride should have been.
Yeah,
A little
that's
bit of scenery and stuff like that, then you run into the roller coaster.
Hey, I won't use this one, but I'm thinking it's a small world with Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger Spin, and you get to shoot the dolls as you go
There
through.
you go. Well,
I
that's
like
fun. There you go. Now that now you're giving them away, but that would be fun. I think it'll be a fun show.
Yes.
So we're gonna
So.
do a mashup for you guys in a couple weeks, and none of you other shows out there steal it before
Yeah.
we do it. I
Yeah,
can see it now. Here live at the Mickey Dudes or Tiki Talk today. We're doing mashup.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah,
All
I
right.
think it's a good idea for a show.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Super Dry is now open at Disney Springs. I think I mentioned this reference, or it was referenced in the earlier story. British clothing store Super Dry is now open where else? At the town center at Disney Springs. According to the company, Super Dry is characterized as by quality fabrics that fuse vintage Americana and Japanese-inspired graphics with a British style. Well, that's a mouthful. You can find Super Dry near the middle of the main town center walkway, close to the entrance to the Lime Garage. Operating hours: 10 a.m. to 11 Sunday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 11:30 the rest of the time. So, yeah, I guess kind of unique store where you can get British-inspired Japanese Americana clothing.
There's a hodgepodge magosh in
Yeah,
there.
wow.
I cannot wait to roam all these stores, dude. There's so many down there, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of kidding here, but the town center, John. I know we've asked you before. I mean, can you put it in perspective how big it is? I mean, it's got to be pretty huge to house all these, different stores in there.
Yeah, when they opened that new section, it almost, if you're walking around like the Lego store and stuff like that, it's almost doubled that size.
Yeah,
So,
because they got all of Pleasure Island.
yeah, it's incredibly huge now, so.
Looking forward to it.
I can't wait. Like I said, I'm going to need a day or two just down there. Well, I plan on spending every night there, is what my trip's going to be.
Yeah, you definitely, and you probably will not do the same thing twice too, with everything you're trying to get done on your vacation and trying to, like you said, grab a drink or an appetizer or dinner or all of the above. You're gonna have your work cut out for you.
Well, I can honestly tell you, I probably won't be at any park at Rope Drop. We're probably gonna do the, well, yeah, we'll still get the parks because we're early risers. On days off, I'm up at 6,
Right, right.
But the point is, we'll probably get to the parks around 9, 9:30 in the morning, roam the parks until 7, 8 at night, go or 6, 7 at night, go home, take showers, and then head to down to downtown or Disney Springs almost every night.
Right.
So I can experience both in the same day. But one night we'll go to Illuminations, but I could see the rest of the night having drinks and appetizers and having meals at Disney Springs for the entire week.
Yeah, and like I think John was saying on the last show, with you know the all kinds of entertainment that's popping up down at the springs, you know, there'll be more to do there than just you know eat and drink. You'll be able to catch a concert or a couple of songs or you know maybe some you know acts they might have there. So yeah, it's going to be a happening place, no doubt.
Yeah, even most of these restaurants all have either entertainment or yep. music playing.
Yeah, yeah, even, you know, some of the older venues like, what do you call it, there with the Irish dancers.
Raglan Road.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that, and I think you're right. We've read the, you know, STK, I believe, is going to have some sort of band.
Yeah, and then DJ on every floor and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, DJ on the main on one of the floors and music playing throughout. So, and then every other one has music piping through it. So, I mean, it's going to be a good place to hang out every night. Especially
right.
for adults.
You don't even need park admission yet.
Nope. No, yet.
yet.
Keyword.
Don't trains even have to pay for parking yet. So.
Right. Trains going up and parking and the admission.
Yeah, what I'm trying to do. We're leaving. We've got our vacation 2 weeks from today. So what I'm trying to do is talk my wife into the Saturday before just going to Disney Springs so I can get some pictures and roam around a little bit and check things out. And then we'll come back home that night and then Sunday get up and go for our vacation. So that way we'd have a complete day to – because we haven't been down there in quite a while now. So we need to get down there.
Baby. It's been a couple of weeks.
It's killing me. Killing me.
No, but that's a great idea. I mean, you know, kind of get the business part of it out of the way so you can really enjoy, you know, quote-unquote vacation time without feeling obligated or, you know, having the distraction of trying to take pictures. And, you know, I know some of the listeners out there might think, what's he talking about? But I've done that even, you know, on my solo trips more so, but even trying to squeeze it in on a family vacation, trying to take pictures and tweet out things and Instagram and do all the things, it's work. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, and I don't know if you guys agree with
absolutely.
Me.
Oh, absolutely. My wife has already warned me about it, like, on our next trip again. No, and she's good about it. Don't get me wrong, but she's saying, I want time, too, with you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exactly what it is. It's like, I say to her, my excuse all the time is, even before my phone, I had the digital camera or my SLR with the lenses and all. We would take 12, 15 rolls of film back then to get developed. So it ain't right. like I'm doing anything different. It's just sitting at the dinner tweeting out food pictures.
Right? Yeah, yeah, I do that too. So, but
yeah, I'm like, nobody touch anything. Uh-huh. You know, I'm taking pictures, and, you know, I'm getting the eye roll and all that stuff, you know.
Yep.
It's like, yeah.
But, you know, I could have worse habits.
Exactly,
is what I keep
right.
saying. You know, but I get it. You got to give them you got to give family time too, and it's kind of hard to mix the two because we're so excited to say we're seeing this. Look, guys, because we have so many friends in the community.
Yep. Right. And this will be our first time at staying at the Polynesian. And what she wants to concentrate on is hanging out there. We're going to park the car and not move it for 3.5 days, you know. So mm-hmm. we're going to hang out there, and we're not going to any park where we can't take a monorail to. So that's the goal. So. And just to hang out there and eat at the restaurants and really explore the Polynesian. So.
You're going to have a good time. I can't wait to hear about it. I'll be tweeting and texting you to bother you to get more pictures out.
Get them in trouble.
Yes. I'm just kidding.
Let's see. Yeah, this didn't take long. Tiffin's introduces new, more affordable lunch menu. Tiffin's at Disney's Animal Kingdom now offers a new lighter lunch menu alongside its regular all-day menu, making it a much more affordable option. Operating as the first signature restaurant at Disney's Animal Kingdom in May 2016, Tiffin's is one of the highest-rated restaurants at Disney World, but comes with a high price. The new Light Bites menu and Taste of Tiffin's option is similar to the Poche-inspired offering at Sanaa. You get to choose two items paired with a jade blend rice for $28. It is a great way to try some of the dishes from the main menu, but with a lower cost and a smaller portion size. The new Tiffin's lunch menu is available from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 and is two table service entitlements, on the Disney dining plan. The regular Tiffin's menu continues to be available for both lunch and dinner. So the Tiffin's lunch menu, the light bites that we just mentioned, archaeologist salad, 12 spring vegetable variations, pumpernickel soil, champagne vinaigrette. They also have a house-made head cheese and chicken liver pate, 14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Goji berry chutney, accoutrements, whole grain mustard. Tiffin's signature bread service, 10 pomegranate olive oil, harissa yogurt, zone yogurt, black-eyed pea hummus.
That sounds good.
Yeah, if I knew what it was. Lobster popcorn, Thai curry soup for 13, basil emulsion, popped sorghum.
Well, what the Tiffin's signature bread service is you get 10, there you get the bread, 10 pieces of bread with pomegranate olive oil, harissa yogurt, a Zoe yogurt, or a black-eyed pea hummus. They're all your dipping.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that does sound good.
Yeah, it'll remind you of Sana'a.
Right, and that I've never had the bread service there, but people rave about it, so if it's on par with that, that would be good.
It was awesome. The best part of the meal. It was awesome.
That's right, John. You had your experience there.
Well, we've been doing a lot of that here ourselves, the non-bread on the grill.
We
make a different dip in sauces. It's been really good because the non-bread's not that – it's good for you. It's not bad for you.
Yeah, it doesn't have all the carbs in it like regular white bread. And, it comes in all different flavors. You can get garlic and, different ones. It's very good. You're right.
Yeah, my wife's been making up olive oil sauces. She's been doing the – now I can't even think of the name of it. It's the green stuff.
I know what you mean.
I'm losing my mind here, but it's pesto.
Pesto.
Yeah, she does her own pesto that we put on top and on the grill, warm it up a little bit. All different sauces. We've been doing a lot of that lately here too, which it's a nice snack, a healthy snack. And we have this crab sauce that we get. It's a horseradish crab sauce that we've been putting on the bread. So it's been good.
Very nice. And then they also have on the other menu, or I guess the taste of Tiffin's, which is choice of two served with jade blend rice for 28, like I said. They have flash-fried icy blue mussels, za'atar butter, confit tomato, Persian cucumber. Then they have a crispy yellowtail snapper, som tam black bean sauce, 72-hour beef short rib, carrots, chimichurri.
I had that once, and it was only 71 hours made, and I was disappointed.
You were robbed.
I said to the waitress, are you sure this is not 71 hours? Because I can taste it. It should be 72.
Then they have a market vegetable curry, which is coconut red curry, pomodam and lime chutney, chamoli rubbed chicken, dried fruits, olives, couscous, harissa yogurt, or couscous.
Yes,
black-eyed pea fritters, zone yogurt, and pappardou puree. Sustainable seasonal fish crudo, roasted corn salsa, finger lime, smoked sea salt, salad of roasted baby beets. You got goat cheese crema, walnut granola, sun-dried cherry vinaigrette, marinated grilled octopus.
Here you go.
Artichoke, barragul, saffron, aiello, lemon caper, olive oil, and masa and pulled pork tamale, or tamale, hominy succotash, red mole sauce. Wow, this is some, I'm sure it sounds a lot more complicated than it is, and I'm sure it's very good.
Well, the octopus is definitely out for me and Brenda, I'll tell you that right now. She's not going for that. But the two I would probably go with, I'd probably try the crispy yellow snapper and then go with that 72-hour short rib. But I would want it, I'd have to audit them. I want to know how they prove it's cooked for 72 hours. I want to know. I'm going to have to see if it's stamped. I want to know how you prove it. Do you think they'd ever get you by serving it for 50 hours cooked?
Oh, yeah, they're cutting corners everywhere, sure.
Take you back to the kitchen and show you the timer. See, it's on 36 hours right now. So.
But the sustainable fish sounds pretty good. I would try this for $28 for the two of you.
Yeah,
it's not
absolutely.
A bad deal.
No, and like it.
Okay. The restaurant looks – I can't wait to eat at this restaurant. This is on top of my list because everybody knows how much I love the Animal Kingdom.
That doesn't sound that bad at all, and the – the items to choose from sound a little better than what was at Sanaa. And we had, I think it was 26 or 28 for the, we had the butter chicken and the beef, and it was paired with rice. So it's almost exactly the same type of entree, just different items. But yeah, that sound, that's not bad at all for 28. So.
Yeah, I mean, and they add a lot of these too already on the, if you go to the main menu on the regular appetizers, they had the marinated grilled octopus. It was $16. So they kind of, what they cut that down by $2. I mean, you know, they had the flash fried icy blue mussels, which are $12. So it still comes to $28 anyway if you get them too.
Right.
They have a lot of the salad. The entrees, the Berkshire pork tenderloins, like $39. The hoisin glazed halibut's $42. I mean, $37 for a grilled head of prawns. You know, basically shrimp, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Fancy way to say shrimp, right?
Yeah. The Wagyu strip loin and braised short ribs was the most expensive thing. That's $53. But, I mean, a lot of this stuff, the pad seared duck breast, $39. Whole fried sustainable fish is $43. So I guess you get a half a portion of that for the $28 one.
But, I would guess.
I mean, the prices are high, but I've seen worse in the park.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have to remember, you know, that this is a signature restaurant.
Yeah.
It's on par with the others. And, you know, actually, it's a bargain as compared to some of the prices at the Cali Grill or
exactly.
Narcosis or one of those restaurants.
Yeah, they got a rubbed chicken for $34, a chamola rubbed chicken, the barbecue spiked lamb chops, John, you're in. Mustard green, lentil, tomato, mint chutney, it's $41. I mean, it's high, but like you just said, Dan, it's no more expensive than the Cali.
Or the Boathouse, for that matter.
The Boathouse makes this seem like you're eating at McDonald's. I
mean, exactly.
I mean, what the heck with the prices? Yeah.
No, so Doug, I was in with the grilled octopus. I'm a big fan of the grilled octopus, so I'll take that. So.
But you get my point. It's like I'm happy they're offering. The reason I'm happy because I like to try things. So 2 for $28 is awesome.
Yep.
I'm in. But I don't think the prices were outlandish compared to what other restaurants are. I'm shocked that they're being attacked like they were too high.
Yeah, I just think because it's in the park, I mean, you know, most of the other restaurants, you know, they're at the hotels or independent from the park. So I think that's why people are having a little hard time with this.
I don't know. Every time we've ate at Yak and Yeti for the three of us, I spent $120, $130. So it really doesn't seem that far off from what we spend there. So
yeah, true.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm happy about it because anytime, this is another example of food and wine without food and wine. I mean,
right.
You got all these little plates everywhere anymore. I mean, basically, it's food and wine year round.
Wouldn't this be great if it was like us three and we all went in there and got the two and then we'd have six different ones to pick from and try? That would be awesome. So,
that would be the best way to take full advantage would be to go with, you know, three couples like you're saying, John, and
then
really, you know,
12.
Share.
Yeah, then we'd have, what, two, four, we'd have 12 to try.
Exactly.
You see how I figured that out? I only have 10 fingers, too. I'm impressed. I didn't even need to use my fingers.
See, if you wore sandals, you could have used your toes to count, too.
Yeah, I can't see that far at 48.
So, yeah, that's all I got, unless, I mean, we're just 4th of July. They had the 4th of July fireworks, Heartbeat to Freedom, but that's come and gone, and that pretty much brings us up to snuff with news from Disney World, unless you guys have some other stories to throw out here.
Well, I have some. Speaking of Yak and Yeti, did you guys see that they changed the menu there, too, as far as added some things to the takeout counter?
Wow, they added things to that huge menu?
Well, the takeout counter.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. What's that all about?
Oh, okay. Turkey legs, burgers, and hot dogs. Right?
Exactly. And I want to ask you guys, have you guys ever heard of a Kobe beef hot dog before?
I have not. Only burgers.
Neither have I. I thought everything that you didn't want went into a hot dog. Like, I mean, when did it become a Kobe beef hot dog? I mean, it's like an oxymoron. I mean, a hot dog is horrible. It's what it's supposed to be. Like, now, when did they start making healthy hot dogs?
Well, the Kobe is I used to actually work at a Culinary Classics, which was a gourmet wholesale food place, and we had Kobe burgers that we stocked, but I'm almost certain that we did have Kobe hot dogs, and Kobe is the brand of beef, so you would still have all that offal from,
yeah,
you know,
but...
chopping it up, so you got to do something with it, so you might as well make it a hot dog, I guess.
No, I hear you. Away. I hear you, but it, you know what I'm saying. It's kind of like you're, like, buying a high-end hot dog is like buying a high-end, what was that car? The cheap car that they made. Many...
Yugo.
Yeah, it's like buying a high-end Yugo. Yeah, look at my Yugo. I got 33s on it, babe. I mean, 16. Right. I got spinners. I mean, like, who fixes up a Yugo? It's like fixing up a hot dog is just not, you know,
yeah.
Kobe beef hot dog. But anyway, Kobe beef hot dog, $14, guys.
Hmm. For a hot dog, huh?
Uh-huh. You get French fries with it, though.
Well, hey.
It's served on a brioche bun with French fries and your choice of toppings. So you get the toppings with it, too, guys. That mustard adds up. And ketchup, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, $14. And then they also added a Kobe. The menu now is this is the counter service menu. Savory a teriyaki beef bowl for $11.49. Honey chicken, which is very good, for $10.69. That's not a bad deal. Then they got the Kobe beef cheeseburger now. That's $15, guys, but it comes with fries. They got an Asian chicken sandwich, which is $9.99. Now, that's a good deal. They got a ginger chicken salad for $10.49. And then a roasted vegetable couscous wrap for $9.99. So that's a pretty diverse. And then they still have their pork egg rolls, their side pork egg rolls, chicken fried rice, basket of fries for $3.99, and then for dessert, they have the frozen lemonade cup, a triple chocolate mousse, and a pineapple coconut cake. Where's my wontons?
I thought that's what you were going to say, but it didn't happen.
No, I'm
yeah,
sad
I
about
mean,
that.
It's interesting. I wonder if it was due to, you know, complaints about the food not being, you know, how can I say it, you know, more Americanized, you know? I wonder if people complained or they just weren't selling enough of the other stuff. I wonder what the reason is for this expansion to, although be it their Kobe, you know, high-end hot dogs and hamburgers and stuff, but nevertheless, their hot dogs and hamburgers. I wonder what the mindset was behind that.
I don't know. And I have no clue. I mean, I'm hoping it was just because they've taken burgers away from everywhere, and they finally realize, you know, we want to be healthy, but some days you just want a burger.
Right, right.
But when they also have, for limited time only, Dan, Korean barbecue rib tips, too, there, for $11.99, which they sound really, really good.
For a limited time?
Yeah, and then it says turkey legs available in our quality beverage. I don't get that.
Around a corner is a bar.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. I get
so
it now.
So it's probably there. So
they're also selling turkey legs here now.
Yeah, because they got rid of them at other places at the end of the kingdom, didn't they? Earlier in the year?
Yes.
What about my jalapeno pretzel? Nowhere.
I know. I'm distraught over that.
And then this is even a good tip, guys, if you want to. They won't question you on it. They got cheeseburgers or chicken strips for $6.99.
So, just a regular cheeseburger, huh?
Yeah, so if you wanted just a quick cheeseburger, I'm sure it's bigger than a slider. I mean, for $6.99, that might be an alternative for you. Because sometimes, dude, I do not want a monster burger. If you're just
right.
walking around.
Or you've said you don't like all that crap on it, or, you know, exotic spices and avocado and all that stuff.
No, and sometimes I don't want a side of beef either. Sometimes it's just nice to go up. I don't know about you guys. I don't go there much, but I don't always need the quarter pounder with cheese at McDonald's. Sometimes just a regular two small cheeseburgers will do me just fine. You just want something to get you through the day, and that's how I am at the park. I'd rather eat 15 times in a day than stuff myself three, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. That's why you stay away from the buffets.
Yep, because you work it off, but you also get to try more things. What do you think, Johnny?
I'm back and forth. Usually we'll eat something really light and split a counter service meal and stuff like that. But then at dinner, we usually, we put the feed bag on, hit a buffet or something. So, yeah, we got Ohana reservation, so at Polynesian. So.
Yeah, well, you'll enjoy yourself. But you get my point, though. Every once in a while, you just want that $6.99. Like, they're not going to question you if you're a kid. There's sometimes me and Brenda, I will grab something like that just because I just want a snack. I don't want a big meal.
Right. Yeah, what we did the last time we were there was around the corner from – Yak and Yeti counter service back towards Africa is that new the Harambe marketplace.
Yeah.
And we got I think two or three of the kids' meals from there. That beef skewer and I think it was some kind of grilled ribs, and we just got the kids' plates from there and split it between me and the wife, and so that worked out really well.
Good idea.
Yeah, you just want a snack. You're not in the mood to, you're not wanting to eat. You're just hungry enough that you need to get through the day, and grab one of these cheeseburgers for $6.99. It's not a bad deal, because you can get one of those cheeseburgers and a basket of fries, and me and Brenda could split that and be good for a few hours.
And then when it's 94 degrees out there and that 100% humidity, you don't want to overload with that much, hamburgers anyway. So, yeah, you want something light. So.
Right, but instead of having, you know, a full-on entree where you're going to get two or three skewers of beef, you're probably going to have a couple of chunks of beef, a little rice, a little chicken, you know.
Yeah.
Like you said, picking amongst the three kids' meals, that's a smart way to go.
Yeah, and it also gave us a taste of everything without spending the $12 or $14 it was for the adult entree. We got to try three of them for, I think it was $6 a piece, $6, $7 a piece. So.
Yeah. And they got all your normal sodas and all out of here, but they have Bud Light for $7. They have yours, John, Safari Amber. I'm sure that's what you like, right?
Yes.
$9. And then they have a Beso del Sol Sangria, which sounds pretty good for $7.95. Brenda would like that.
Especially on a hot day at the Animal Kingdom.
Absolutely. A little bit of ice, a little bit of buzz. Mm. How can you go wrong?
Yeah.
And then the other thing I got, which is pretty cool, they did a big article on the Disney Parks blogs for cooking out all the merchandise that they have for barbecuing. All the aprons, and they're available at all the parks. And I'll tell you what, dude, have you guys ever bought any of the rubs or the barbecue sauces?
I have not. The last time I was in that store, though, where John just mentioned over there at the Harambe Marketplace, they have the rubs, I think, from the, what is it, the restaurant there that has the ribs.
Husker House.
No.
Flame Tree Barbecue. Flame Tree Barbecue.
Yeah, they have a three-pack, I think, of the rubs, and they have the, the ones that are in powder form, and they also have some of the sauces, too. And I was going to grab them, and I didn't, and I regretted it, because I would have wanted to have an Animal Kingdom night back home one night, or, cook on the grill and get some ribs and stuff, but I never got back and got it, but I hope to in the future.
Well, I guarantee the next time down, because they have the Flame Tree barbecue sauce for sale.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm buying some of that, and I'm also getting the rubs, because they have the curry rub, the African, seasoning, and all that stuff. I'm going to be buying quite a bit of this next trip down.
I mean, I might even buy a bunch of it and box it up and ship it home. That way I don't have to lug it around, because that's kind of heavy.
Yeah, well, I got my car, so.
Oh, that's true.
Give me a shopping list when y'all get a chance. I'll get a box in the mail for you.
Right.
We usually buy stuff at the little store there at Disney Springs, the kitchen store there.
Yep.
They have some really good meat rubs and stuff like that in there. And I usually pick up one or two of there. And then we get stuff in Morocco, too, because Tangerine Cafe is one of our favorite quick service restaurants out there. And so, like the grilled chicken and the grilled lamb from there. So
sell the sauces they use in those dishes, John?
Yeah, a lot of the seasonings they have around the corner in one of the little stores, they have the different types of seasonings to throw on chicken, lamb, or beef. So.
Well, nice. I'm in. I definitely want to get this Flame Tree barbecue sauce. I keep forgetting to grab it. How you get all tied up. You have your to-do list, and then
you always think you're going to get back, and, on our way out, and, inevitably you get distracted like a moth going to a bright light on something else, and you don't get back there. But yeah, there's that, and, I know, during Food and Wine and stuff, and a lot of people don't realize this, but, if you go to these seminars or you see a chef or whatever, a lot of the wines that they have in these that they either use to cook with or maybe serve as to accompany the dinner, you can purchase right there at the store and either have it shipped back to your room or shipped home or bring home. So this is kind of a strategy where, again, Disney, it's a way to make money where they integrate what you're seeing and doing on property and then being able to buy these products to bring home with you too, which is awesome.
Well, like you were saying, an Animal Kingdom day, I want to pick up a lot of this stuff. I keep forgetting to do it because how cool would it be? You're bummed out. You're having a bad week. You grab the Flame Tree barbecue sauce, grab some chicken or some ribs and, have a Disney night at the house. It would kind of cheer you up a little bit. Because Dan, anytime, and you too, John, anytime we pick up, right now I'm drinking out of that, I drink my Starbucks this morning out of my Disney coffee mug.
Right.
It just puts you in that happy place for 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah. Can I just remind you that there's a trip ahead, and you're right. It just brings a little excitement into your everyday, life. I totally agree.
Yeah, because I have the Disney cookbooks, and we break them out, and every time I do a Disney meal for the girls or whatever, I just love it because the whole time I'm reading Disney recipes. So.
Yeah, no, that is awesome. And I wonder what other types of things they have. I mean, John mentioned down there and at the Animal Kingdom, but I know in those kitchen stores, they,
Well,
well,
one of
we.
the best things they have is that we've actually gotten, and I would like to get more. It is pricey, but the maple syrup over in Canada. You
Oh,
ever bought any of
yeah.
that?
I have not. I've never purchased any, but I know they have it.
It is so much better. I mean, and I didn't know this, and my wife's telling me the other day that you ever listen to Giada De Laurentiis? Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, she's hard on the eyes, but I put up with it when Brenda has it on,
Right.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Yeah. Wink, wink, guys. But anyway, she says that grade B maple syrup is better than grade A, and you'd think grade A was better.
Right.
But that's what that stuff is. They have the real good stuff, and if you get the good stuff compared to the bad, it's kind of like you, John, with the beer. You know the difference between the good and the bad.
Yes, I do.
And
So.
that's how the maple syrup is. But the Canadian maple syrup is out of this world, and
Right.
that
You know
even
what?
reminds you a little bit of when you're eating it, Le Cellier. You know what I mean?
Yeah, one of our favorite recipes that I found out of one of the Food and Wine Festival cookbooks was the maple glazed salmon. I make that about once every 3 weeks or so, and the maple syrup I keep grabbing is just from the local grocery store. So maybe I'll have to pick up a bottle from Canada and see if it
Yeah.
makes a difference.
It'll make a big difference because even the way it glazes, John, is so much
Okay.
better. It's a little, how can I put it? It gives a little bit more bite to it, if you follow me. It glazes up better, a little thicker. It has more body.
It's so good to begin with. I can't imagine it being any better, but I imagine it
Right.
could. So.
Yeah, and another thing they have, I was just thinking about it, is coffees like Joffrey's in particular. They have, I think, seven or eight different blends from some of the signature restaurants around property that you can actually purchase, whole bean, or I think you can even get it ground as well. But if a particular coffee strikes your fancy at Disney World, you can purchase a pound while you're there. There, either at Disney World or even order it when you get back home from their website. But there are a lot of food and drink type items that you can purchase to bring a little bit of Disney back home with you, like Doug was saying, more and more. It's is you know I'm sure there's more stuff that we're not thinking of, but it seems to be the trend lately.
Oh yeah, there's all different play. I mean, there's custom blends of different of the different sauces and different dressings, and especially now, I think at the World of Disney too, they have an area. I know they do. They have the cooking area where they
Right.
have different blends and different spices and stuff from all around the parks. Where that's because I told you guys, I don't buy a lot of souvenirs and stuff like that. I'm more into just getting myself a hat or.
Right.
I got shirts and stuff, but I don't go crazy. I mean, I'll walk through, I don't know how you guys are, but I'll walk through the stores like 15 times and I'll say I like that shirt. And I'll end up buying one here and there, but I have to really like it. And it's the same thing with the hats. It takes me all week to pick the hat out I want or two. Just how I am. But I do love the idea of these rubs and these spices because I could cook with them and it brings you back to the parks. And me and you, everybody knows me and Brenda love to cook.
Right.
So I'm excited that they keep adding more and more of this. And at Disney Springs, all these different restaurants and stuff, I'm sure is going to have different offerings.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that whatever their line of sauces are, or maybe some restaurants, I'm sure you can get their their red sauce or spaghetti sauce, whatever you want to call it, and all that stuff. Like I said, it's just a cool way to bring a little bit of Disney back home and have that special meal. John sounds like he does it a little more than we do, but he has access to the products, more so than we do.
Well,
Now, do you deliver any of that stuff, John? Any of those specialty items? I'm not.
if you go to Italy and you look at the Lavazza coffee, the San Pellegrino sodas and waters, the olive oils, the balsamic vinegar. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of that in the Italy Pavilion comes off of our trucks. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
That's
we
awesome.
handle a lot of it. So.
And nothing like a good olive oil either. It's kind of like maple syrup. There are
Oh.
different kinds that have different flavors and taste better than others.
Yeah, especially if you use it for dipping. I mean, you're going to taste the olive oil as opposed to cooking, where, you know, that's a different type. And you can still taste it, but, I mean, when you're using it for dipping, it makes a big difference.
Or I notice it a lot, too, is because I use that pizza stone all the time.
Yeah.
And I season my pizza stone with the different olive oils to throw the breads on. Mm-hmm. And I could really get the flavor of what olive oil I have when I'm putting the olive oil and the garlic and all on the bread when it's cooking into the crust. That's where you really get the effect of it.
Yeah, and it's amazing how they taste different, where, you know, you think, well, olive oil is olive oil, but not so.
No, because I'll even glaze it with olive oil and a little fresh margarine or butter on there with the garlic sauce onto the pizza stone and let that cook into the crust of the pizza. Or the bread that we're doing.
The bread, yeah.
And it really makes a difference, the good stuff compared to the bad stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if you're into olive oil and stuff like that, I mean, it's a lot like wine, you know. Grapes are, you know, different. They taste different from one side of the mountain to the other, depending on how much sunlight they get, how much air they get, and all that good stuff. So same type thing with olive oil. Just because it comes from the same region, it could have a different taste to it.
And the thing that bothers me, too, is the same thing, that when you're in these stores, you want everything. Like, I mean, Italy, you want the wines. But you don't, like, the same thing, you don't want to lug it around the park that day. See, what you say is, before we leave, honey, we're going to head back over there.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening?
You're back at the room,
you're like, son of a gun. And if you don't have park hopper and you're not going back to that park, you could never get it again. Am I right, guys?
Yeah, there you go.
So you need to have park hopper. Dennis disagrees with me. He left us. So I don't know. But, John, you got to go over and you got to get that maple syrup.
All right, yeah, I'll give that a chance. It sounds good.
It's not cheap, though, but...
Well, maple syrup to begin with isn't cheap. Even buying the stuff at the local grocery store is pretty stout, so...
No. No, it's not a cheap item. We bought some, actually, last night, which I wish we got Canadian maple syrup.
You got to get the Aunt Jemima's.
Yeah, it's good. We use the, whatchamacallit, it has a maple leaf on it. I can't think of the name of it. It's Vermont maple syrup.
I think I know the one you mean.
Yeah, we picked that up last night. Brenda, my wife does not like cheap maple syrup at all. She's like, I don't even talk to her about it. It's like her thing. It would be like her telling me what TV to buy.
Yeah.
I'll stay away from the maple syrup, honey.
But when I was a kid, though, I mean, we never got real maple syrup. That was like a delicacy that, you know, we just couldn't afford it, is what it boiled down to. But so I grew up on the you know, some of that other fake imitation maple syrup, what you're talking about, and it's pretty nasty, you're right.
Yeah, you don't cook with it good.
No,
I'll tell you that
no.
much. You don't, like, John wants you put some of that on a piece of salmon, it ain't gonna be too
No, Aunt Jemima goes on salmon. No.
We had a good salmon last night with our mustard glaze on it. Man, was that good.
Nice.
I love salmon. But anyway, guys, that's going to be it for this week's show. Do you have anything else?
No. I was going to ask you if we got a minute.
I got one
dining reservation left. We'll be at Epcot on Tuesday. Right now we have Spice Road table. What do you guys think? Stay there or should I shoot for something else?
Have you ever tried it before?
Yeah, we ate there one time, and that it was actually one of my wife's favorites, so that's why she wanted there. But we've got Ohana and Kona the other two nights, and then our last night. Actually, we've got a good time, too. It's like 10 to 8, and so if Illuminations goes off at 9, we should still be seated. So.
Stay.
I would stay. I mean, our buddy our buddy Bob and Mary, they're upset that they made the skewers into a – an entree now?
Yeah. But basically, the prices have gone up, John. What they used to offer is small plates. They've now made them into full-on entrees. So for the same amount of food you used to pay small plates, you basically pay as a full entree now. So, yeah, Bob and Mary are down on it from a monetary perspective. But as far as the quality of food goes, I think it's still right there. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's the primo viewing spot for Illuminations, but it'd be hard-pressed to get much better. And if you order that one extra beer to stretch out your meal that extra 10 minutes, you should be able to get a good viewing location for Illuminations. I'd stay there.
I want to go back our next trip if I find time. I mean, the spicy garlic shrimp is one of the best meals I've ever had. I love that. Have you had that? You'd like that, don't you, Dan?
No, I've had it 4 or 5 times already,
it's
absolutely.
Incredible. And the thing of it is it's not the same. And I get what they're saying because you get it with the small plates. I forget what it was, like $12, $14 for the tips. And now it's like $28. But you are getting potatoes and something else with it. So it isn't like they're giving you the same exact thing. You're getting two sides. And for what it's compared to before, it is it's pricey. But if you go and compare it to every other meal on property, it's still not a bad price for under $30. You get what I'm saying there, Dan. Yeah, potatoes aren't worth $10, but that's what they're charging for potatoes at every other restaurant on property. Am I wrong?
Right, and they have to make their margins, and they need to do what they need to do to survive, so I understand it. I mean, in general, do I like prices going up? No, of course not, but I understand it, and I think, you know, the fact that the food is so good there and the location makes it a place that I definitely will go back to, regardless of what they've done with the, you know, the portions of food or whatever. But that's me.
Yeah, I mean, it's the mixed grilled skewers. It's marinated beef and chicken with French green beans, French green beans, toasted almonds, and rosemary roasted potatoes for $29.99. Now, again, you used to get them same skewers for like $12 or $14, but you didn't get any of the sides with it.
Right, they were literally just the skewers themselves on a plate.
Yes, and these actually, and to be honest with you, the portion kind of looks a little bit bigger to me from everything I'm seeing. But I get it was one of Mary's favorite things, so I don't want to get Mrs. All and WDW mad at me. But, you know, it is a good deal. But they still have the small plates. John, the spicy garlic shrimp, have you had that yet?
No, I think we had the skewers, we had the sliders. When we ate there, it was the small plates, and so I think we got three different items for like $28 or something. And so we had the skewers, the sliders, and one other item, but no, I haven't tried the shrimp yet.
Yeah, because the hummus was awesome with the olives. Dennis has had that before. That's still $11.99. They got the fried calamari, which is $12.99. The Moroccan lamb sausage, which you would love, John. It's a North African spicy lamb sausage served with tomatoes, red onions, and cilantro salad for $9.99. It's a pretty good
dish. Actually, that sounds really good.
Yes, and then they have the spicy garlic shrimp, which is out of this world. The way it's seasoned, Dennis, isn't it perfect?
Oh, it is phenomenal. It really is.
And you get bread with it, too, for $10.99.
What I'm thinking then is I get maybe I'll just get that sausage and those are appetizers, right?
They're small plates. They're considered
small plates. Yeah, so I get those two, the shrimp and the sausage. That sounds like a good meal right there. So.
And the other thing that I love, Dan, because I got the combination. There was one. Remember the combination? You got the three.
Yep.
They don't have that. They don't have that. I don't see that offering here anymore. But I got the combination. And it came with the harissa chicken roll.
Yep.
That is phenomenal, too. And that's $8.99, John.
Yeah,
so
if you
for $30, you could do three, John.
That sounds like a good combo right there. So
I actually did that. Remember that program they did after the park closes? You got one of those, and I got that as well, Doug, what you just mentioned. And I think it was the lamb sausage and the harissa roll that you mentioned and one other item, whatever it was, and dessert too, and it was very good. And just to be fair to Bob and Mary, I think, you know, their main issue is the premise of the restaurant in the name in itself is small plates. That's what it was supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be like a restaurant where you got full-on entrees, and they've kind of changed up the game plan there, if you will, and I think that's what they more have an issue of. I mean, I think Bob would agree that, you know, he doesn't have an issue with the quality or taste of the food. He just feels that they're doing a bait and switch here where they've sold it under the premise of quote-unquote small plates, and now they're doing something different.
Well, what happened is, Dan, and I'll defend them back the other way, which I understand because it was her and his favorite, one of their favorites.
Right.
But what I think happened is, so they actually added four more small plates. It isn't like they took the small plates away. It's just they removed that now. They've added the rice stuffed grape leaves. They added fresh fish croquettes, which that wasn't on the menu we ate there then. I know it wasn't there for you. They have a brie fondue, which they added. And then they also added hummus fries, which none of those were available when we were there before.
I don't remember hummus fries.
Exactly. So there's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 small plates. When we ate there, there was like 5.
Right.
So they have added that. And I think what happened is the mixtures were a perfect combination to make an entree out of. I think out of all the small plates, they were trying to keep their menu the way it was without going changing it too much. And I think this is one of the things that they could put on it to make an entree out of, is what happened with it.
Makes perfect sense. It does.
Yeah, because they have the lamb. Remember, and they did it also to the sliders. Remember, they had the lamb sliders.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's on the entree now. You get three lamb sliders, which is a brioche, a cucumber dill, mixed olives, with a mint tzatziki sauce, served with hummus fries for $24.99, and you get three lamb sliders with that. It really looks good. For $24.99, it isn't bad. They added the hummus sliders, is what they basically did, because they were like, I think they were like 12 or 14 bucks before then, if you remember, because I got them too, because we tried them too.
Yep.
So they add the hummus fries, which is another $9, and they made an entree out of it. So I get why they're upset, because I think Bob liked the lamb sliders too. I think they took his two favorite things off the menu, where me and you loved the shrimp, so it didn't bother us.
Right. No, it's all good, and we'll get Bob on to defend his position soon here anyways. But in any event, John, sorry for the long-winded response. But, depending on what you like, I mean, you know, there's other great restaurants in World Showcase, obviously, but I don't think you can go wrong with
especially with the time.
Right. If you were eating at 5 p.m., I would say, you know, potentially change. But if you're going to be there at that time of night, I'd stay right where you are.
Yeah, and the prices aren't bad, John. I mean, they got mixed grilled skewers for $29. They got the coriander crusted rack of lamb, which that sounds good to you. I know that.
Yeah.
A basami rice, roasted tomato, and zucchini for $32.99, which isn't bad. They got a yellowfin tuna for $28.99, roasted chicken for $26, and a Mediterranean vegetable platter for $22. So I don't think the prices here are that bad. I just think is what happened with the entree for the one. But I would highly recommend this place, because me and Dennis ate here, and there was nothing ever bad. Everything has always been spectacular to my palate.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the time we did eat there, it was very good. So it's just a matter of, you know, I was kind of in the mood for some French food or something like that, but the wife wants that. So I think that's what we'll go with. And then, like you said, the time, I mean, watch Illumination. So
if it's close, neck and neck, I mean, I think that would tip it to the spice road for this particular meal. And I was going to ask you, you were there before. I mean, I know they have more than just Moroccan beers, because they have beers from a bunch of countries from all in the Middle East, correct?
Yeah, I had a Greek beer.
Right, because it's more expansive. I would think the beer menu is more expansive than across the way.
They have assorted Mediterranean beers. A Casa beer from Morocco. This is what I got. The Mythos from Greece. An Efes from Turkey. An Estrel Dam from Spain. And Almaza from Lebanon. And it's $6.99 for that flight. John's in.
That's probably going to be the winner right there.
winner, beer, dinner.
There you go.
So,
and then the last thing that we were thinking about is, have you either you guys done the luau at the Polynesian?
No, I have not. I think Dennis did, didn't you?
Yeah, I did it years ago, John. What's your question? Is the show good, or is the food good, or both?
Is the food good? I mean, the show is the show. It's supposed to be pretty good, but I've heard terrible things about the food, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's been so long. I mean, I'm sure the menu is fairly, you know, similar to what it was. But, you know, all I could say is it was served family style. And, you know, I didn't come away from it saying the food was horrible. But then again, I wouldn't go so far as to say it was, you know, fine dining either. So, you know, you sit at long tables. It's just going to be the two of you or the three of you?
No, this will just be the two of us.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing where it's kind of the family style seating, and the tables sit long ways, so the end of the table is facing the stage, or the show stage, if you will, and you're going to have, you know, you and your wife will either be sitting right next to each other or across from each other, and then you're going to have people right beside you. Of the shows that Walt Disney World offers, I mean, myself, I'd much rather do Hoop-Dee-Doo or even the Wilderness Lodge. I'd rather do that than this one. It would be my least favorite show, is the way I would.
All right, yeah. I think we'll just stay with Spice Road Table then.
Yeah.
So. All right.
I would.
That's my opinion.
I think you'll enjoy Illuminations more from there than you will the Luau.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
And leave it in your pocket and enjoy. John, if you go with that, the Horatia chicken roll, the spicy garlic shrimp, and the Moroccan lamb sausage, you'll be a happy kid.
That sounds good. And like I said, we've got reservations at Ohana on Sunday night, and I've got those, I think, at 8:05 or somewhere in there. So we'll be right there for the electric pageant, the water pageant, and then maybe Wishes, depending on what time Wishes goes. But yep. Just a little hint for anybody that is booking Ohana, if you can do a three-top with three people, do three people, because every time we eat there, we get seated right at the window.
There,
because that's the three top tables along the window, so you can't get asked for a better view. So.
No, that's good.
Good tip. Yep.
So, well, any more questions, John, before we go?
That's about it.
That's good. I'm looking forward to your dining reviews.
Yes.
Make me hungry. So, but that's going to be it, guys, for this week. We would just want to put out there, I know we do this show for positive, and I didn't want to bring it up at the beginning, but please, everybody, just be kind to each other. This craziness that's going on in the world right now has to stop, and that's why we love Disney, and we all need to get along. And don't you guys agree?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a crazy world out there.
Yeah, everybody treat your brother and sister kind. You know, stop the madness. And if you want to follow the madness, you can follow Dennis at Oak Manor. You can follow John at Beer Solo, and good old me at Grumpy6767. And please follow us all over at WDW Main Street. Thanks for all your kind reviews over on iTunes. We'd really appreciate a couple more. And we will catch you guys next week. Have a blessed and wonderful week. And, again, everybody be kind to each other.
See you later. See you next
week. All
right,
take care, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.